Just imagine 2 weeks before your mother passes away from stage four cancer, which I didn't
Right.
know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Then I go on national television. I didn't leave my house for 2 weeks. The moment I did, I went out to eat, and even the waitress noticed me from the show. But I was in grief and deep mourning and having such intense bullying. And I just had the strength because there's nothing else to do.
Have you ever looked in the mirror and wondered if you're enough for someone to love?
Our guest today knows exactly what that feels like. Millions of you met her for the first time on Love on the Spectrum, but what you didn't see was the battle she was fighting in her life long before cameras ever started rolling.
Today, she's opening up about body image, confidence, learning about her AUDHD diagnosis, the moment she finally stopped letting others define her worth, and grief.
If you've ever struggled with self-confidence or wondered if someone could love you exactly as you are, you do not want to miss today's conversation.
Welcome to Talk to Me, Sis, Sonia Wiggins.
Yay, girly girl.
Hello! I'm so excited and so honored to be a part of this.
First of all,
Well,
you look beautiful with the signature flower.
Oh,
love
yes,
it.
the rose. I always wear it wherever I go.
I love it.
I love it. It's that flair.
Yes, my Latina, my Chilean side.
I love it.
You
Love
know,
it.
I want to be a Latina, and you've even sent me a book of Spanish to learn.
Yeah, and you still haven't read it because you're
I
so
know, don't
busy,
yell
but
at me. You
should
because you
read.
look Latina.
I want
You
to
have a
be.
Latina look.
Okay,
Nikki,
no, that right
you
there
look
makes me
like
happy.
you're from Croatia.
Oh, I do Croatia.
That's beautiful. The people from
Okay.
there, everyone in Croatia is hot, so yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna Google it when we get off.
Go with
Okay,
that.
Do it.
this is a fun new rabbit trail to go down.
I
Thank
love
you.
it. Well, listen, Sonia, most people recognize you from Love on the Spectrum, but if your best friend were to introduce you, how would they introduce the real Sonia?
So, hi, this is my friend Sonia. She's eccentric, can be annoying sometimes, but she has one of the best hearts ever. She loves arts and crafts. She bedazzles everything. She's my best friend, and I don't know. Like,
I love that. No, enough
okay.
said.
Great.
First of all, you had me at bedazzle.
I've been so into
Absolutely.
bedazzling lately. I bedazzle everything, like the hand sanitizer. It's been great. I feel like I'm 14 years old. I don't care.
I love it. I love it so much. Sonia, take us back to the moment when you first learned about your AUDHD and what led you to kind of seek out that diagnosis? Was there something going on? And then did it help you understand yourself?
Growing up, I stayed back in kindergarten, and my parents said it was because I didn't know what a cubby was. And so, growing up like Chilean, it's like a huge stigma to have labels. So, on my IEP, it actually said I had a communication disability, and I
Okay.
still have my IEP. And I was like, what does that mean? So, that's the first start of it.
Okay.
I grew up in Wellesley, Massachusetts as well, and it's a very good public school system and everything.
How is their support for special needs or different learners? How is it up there in Wellesley, Mass?
It's excellent. I love these public schools so much. The teachers, though, besides growing up with the bullying, but when it came to the diagnosis, I got diagnosed. I always had like ADHD, always. But then I'm old. I'm 35, so I got diagnosed. I
You're
know,
not old. Not old at
oh,
all.
to
I
be
just turned 35.
35. So when I was about 20 or 21, I got diagnosed. Back then, when I saw the communication thing again, when I was like in kinder, like my IEP growing up, and my parents constantly going to the high school, middle school, it was the neurodivergent. So The other thing is, I didn't want anyone to know. I was embarrassed, actually, at first. And I've always been masking. And I even, honestly, wanted to get tested again by a clinician. And I did that. And now, guess what?
What?
I feel so free. And I don't have to mask, you know? And
right.
So I went to college. I was the class president for 4 years.
Wow.
It was just like a mask that came off and like the anxiety. And everything made sense to me. And I kind of just owned it. And then I went to therapy and like therapist specifically for ADHD, for my autism. And it actually like helped me excel, you know, in life. Yeah.
So I'm curious about what you said earlier. It was like cultural in the Chilean culture or in the Latin culture. Like, what did you mean? Like to not have a label or a stigma? What can you, I just find that so interesting. And,
yes,
and
I
think you speaking out like this can hopefully help other families.
I've actually helped like 3 parents actually, to have their kids go get a diagnosis. I actually have a partnership with Prosper Health and they have clinicians and they do the diagnosis. But for them as well, we don't like labels. So I was always labeled as like weird, like la sonita, ella es muy extraña. Like that means like she's really weird or my family too was embarrassed at first. Like even my parents, they would just say I was lazy, even though they knew everything. They didn't want to accept it.
Would you hear them explain, oh, she's lazy? Would you hear that?
Yeah.
Would you clock that?
And then- all the time growing up, they're like, oh, she's just lazy. Or like the other thing too, like if I ever had like a tantrum or something like that, they would think it's like some sort of mental like illness. And, you know, it's just so exhausting to always mask growing up and like, you know, especially in Wellesley, Massachusetts. So.
Right. Sonia, I want to hone in on that because, I mean, you're everyone's autism, like we always say, is so unique to them, the way everyone's autism manifests and presents in an individual. Can you give us like for people who aren't familiar with the term masking or who don't know, maybe they only know children with autism, not adults. When you say that you were heavily masking your whole life, can you tell us like specifically what behaviors were you masking or what behaviors were you using to mask?
How do I explain it? It's pretty much, I copy other people's like mannerisms or as well, before I want to say something or I'm not like I try my best, like stay still. And honestly, it's pretty much me trying to be neurotypical in the sense I force myself to go out. But then when I come home, I'm so in burnout mode. Like and I wouldn't like talk and I would go like, I would go nonverbal, but pretty much masking is not being yourself. And honestly trying to be like your friends, you know, and trying to be another person.
So you're literally standing there just trying to take your cue from the person next to you and just copy paste what they were doing so that you
fit in. That's a good way to put it. And I would like agree to everything that they like. Like even if, you know, I don't like sports or get sports, you know, I'm good at like ping pong, but like I would always be like, yeah, I like that. Or like, but I have no idea what they're talking about, you know,
just to fit
or
in,
with my
just
hands or I would always interrupt people and I would try to learn like how to be quiet. There's so much to it as masking as a woman as well. And especially like being a Latina woman, I am still so good at masking. But then when I come home, I'm so quiet,
exhausted.
You know, I'm still used to exactly. And I like, it's very strange. Like some people, I seem so talkative, but then like, I will not speak for like 6 hours because my brain is just fried, you know?
Yeah.
So it really takes a toll on you to try to be out in the world. And so now you've got this sense of freedom as a 35-year-old woman. When did that come? Did that come in your 20s, or is it more recently that you feel like, this is me, unapologetically, here's Sonia?
That's a really good question, because it did come to me in my 20s, and I feel like that's why I did so good at Mount Ida College, and I was the class president. I was so confident. I was really cool, and I was just like my total self. But then when I was 30, 31, I started to mask again.
Did something happen?
Right, I was going to say.
Yeah, my mom really wanted me to like marry someone, and you know, in this Latin culture, you need to get a little marriage earlier and like kids.
Right.
So I like started to slowly mask, even like, you know, with dating and men, but I didn't notice it, you know? And even when I was like living in Chile for a year, I didn't notice I was masking until after the show came out.
What? Do you feel like you were masking on the show?
A little bit, but on camera, I was I was excited. And my producer, Sean, that I love, like I had like two purses with me and he was holding them like behind filming. And it's a very safe place to film, but I just came in like I got this, and immediately he showed up. And well, a lot of it, I was just Sonia, you know, because I was just so excited. And like the Connor, he's the mic guy, like it was just a very safe place, and like it was only like four people there. It wasn't like a studio or anything. I was very, very comfortable. Like nobody was there. You know?
Yeah, it is very chill. It is.
And I had Sean in the corner. If I need, like, you know, it was great.
About working with the team on Love on the Spectrum is that they are like a little skeleton crew. And I think that is to help make it a little more authentic and not make you feel like you're surrounded by all these things and make you comfortable. And they are just genuinely good.
Nice people. Yeah, for sure.
Before we finish the conversation, Nikki, I want to give a big thank you to today's sponsor, Vinted.
Okay, Lise, can we just talk about closets and our clothes? Because when I was getting ready to get dressed today, I'm looking through this stuffed closet, but I always feel like I have nothing to wear.
Exactly. And I look in my closet and stuff has been hanging there for months or years. And I just stand in there looking around thinking, I have a closet full of nothing to wear.
Well, that's why I have been loving Vinted. They make it so easy to list the pieces that are going to waste in my closet, and maybe someone else can enjoy them and bonus make a little extra money.
And my favorite part about Vinted is the whole process is so easy for you. It's easy to list the item. And then once something sells, Vinted creates a prepaid shipping label so you don't have to figure it out yourself.
But do you know what the best part is? There are no seller fees, so you keep everything you earn from your sales.
That's what finally motivated me to clean out my closet. It made room for the pieces that I'm actually wearing, and it actually made me feel a little bit different about the pieces I was letting go and thinking that someone else would look really good in them and enjoy them.
So if you've been considering cleaning out your closet, let this be your sign and open those doors up. You might be surprised at what's hiding in there.
Are you ready to clean out your closet and earn some money? Download the Vinted app for free. Start listing, and with no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn.
Plus, for a limited time, enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted.
A big thanks again to Vinted for sponsoring today's episode. Stay tuned for more of our conversation with Sonia. So, Sonia, with this diagnosis, and now as this woman, you said you feel free, and even though you did kind of revert back in your early 30s, if you could go tap younger Sonia on the shoulder, like back in school when you were just nodding along with all your friends saying you liked, you know, coconut when you really can't stand it or whatever.
I don't like coconut.
But let's say if you could tap yourself on the shoulder back then, do you have anything you would want to say to younger Sonia?
I would want to say to not be afraid to live and to get out of your comfort zone, because life is too short. And I would say that I need to love myself, and not to care what people think, you know, and protect my peace. That's what I mean, I know that's a long tap on the shoulder, but you know, that's what I would say.
you just tap her and sit her down and tell her all of
that.
That's
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would have a long talk with the younger Sonia.
I noticed when you introduced yourself as your best friend and, you know, some of the words were interesting that you chose to introduce yourself, but you talk about feeling misunderstood most of your life. And with people misunderstanding you and maybe even, you know, with the bullying you've experienced or even dismissing you, I've gotten to know you personally over the last year, and I just feel so blessed. I love your text. I've formed quite a relationship with Sonia outside of the show. Uh-huh. And we speak quite a bit.
Yeah, and I just want to thank Lise, too. I know Lise is so busy all the time, like, and she has done so much for me. I can't even explain it. Like, even when my mom passed and, you know, this Thanksgiving, I didn't want to go out. We literally video chatted, both put on my makeup. She was like, girly pop, you got to get ready. Like, I've never met or had a person that goes out of their way so much and so genuine,
so sweet.
You know? And she's so, so busy. And like, I bet you're very busy too, Nikki, but like, I don't even know, like, sometimes I'm really busy. I don't even have time to go pee-pee. Like, I have no idea how Lise has the time for me. And,
well, I don't know. You touched
my heart. I'm so grateful. I think God just gave me Lise, you know?
Well, that's amazing. And sometimes, you know, people come into your life for a reason. It's just who you need at that time. And chemistry is chemistry. You know, chemistry can be friendship too.
And we do. We have a great time. We FaceTime each other. We laugh. We cut up. You know, I'm a New England girl, I'm a Massachusetts girl. So we have that in common. And then you also.
We live around the same area where you grew up.
Yeah. Yep. And you spend time in Maine, and I have a father in Maine. And so I love, we have a lot in common, but I've also just enjoyed you and your energy, and we have a good time together. But so me having the luxury.
One last thing. I always say, Lise, Princess Diana, that girl from Atlanta. That's like my little like thing. Like when I meet people, I'm like, do you know Lise, Princess Diana, that girl from Atlanta?
From Atlanta. I will take it.
I love it. That's so funny.
Do you think there's people missed out on some things? I know the answer to this question. It's kind of a loaded question, but by dismissing you or misunderstanding you, I mean, I can say from personal experience, like, you're an incredibly loving, sensitive young woman. And
Thank you. You're
very caring too. So I guess I'm answering my own question. Yes, people, you've missed out on something. But Sonia, do you feel like that?
I couldn't believe it that people saw me on television for just 10 minutes and they could make an assumption about me. Like, after I watch a show, I'm going to go eat some goldfish. You know, I'm not going to go make a video about the episode. I have people and talking crap, you know, and doing it on TikTok. Yeah. No, I'm going to go eat some goldfish. I have a life. Like, you know, and I have never seen such evil comments and like Reddit, and I know I shouldn't read it, but
don't go to Reddit ever.
Well, I already read it all, and even my father, and it's like, I'm just so proud of myself how I got through it, you know? And I realized something. I at times judge people that I don't even know. And from my experience now with how much bullying I got and hate, and now I have all this respect. I am respected now because they know me. I'm never going to immediately judge someone that I've only known and I have before. So now I really have worked on that.
That's the best thing you can take away from an experience like that. It's like, you know, self-reflection and self-discovery, because the only thing you can change is your own behavior. You know what I mean? Like, and even if you can't change the bullying, you can change how you respond and in the future, how you look at situations. That's how we've had to look at it too, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and not to say we're not all humans and it doesn't still sting, but I'm with you, Sonia. I've actually been guilty of that too, where, you know, you watch a reality show and you have this parasocial, is that the word that they call it? A parasocial relationship, and you think you know them. And then now I've walked myself back a few times and I'll be like, whoa, you know what people have said or thought about you or your family, and you know it's the furthest thing from the truth. So
right.
Giving that grace. So that's interesting. And I don't know how much you want to talk about, but you did take some hits after the show and the date. And I just feel like you carried yourself with so much grace and class.
my mama taught me how to be classy, but it's just like, just imagine 2 weeks before your mother passes away from stage 4 cancer, which I didn't know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Then I go on national television, and like the fact that I'm still thriving and I'm still strong. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in LA, I was in a meeting and people were concerned about my mental health. And I told them this, and I was like, imagine what happened to me and I'm still thriving and doing okay. I can do anything. And they just got silent, because only some people will understand this. I didn't leave my house for 2 weeks. The moment I did, I went out to eat, and even the waitress noticed me from the show. But I was in grief and deep mourning and having such intense bullying. And I just had the strength because there's nothing else to do.
And your mom, you know? So if we can, because I kind of know, and I don't know how much you're comfortable saying, and you know, you brought it up a little bit. Do you want to elaborate a little bit? And if you don't, that's fine. You lost your mom suddenly to you. You were unaware. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. So my mom was a very well-known poet and a human rights activist. She taught Latin American literature. She won a bunch of, she's written over like 60 books. She's won a bunch of awards. It's all, it's poetry. You can just look her up, but just
Google her.
You know, she's won like a bestseller.
Tell your mom.
Marjorie Agosin. Okay. She has this very famous book called I Lived on Butterfly Hill. And actually it's about like kind of her life in a way, but it's about a Chilean girl that actually goes to Maine and actually like kind of like Algonquin, Maine. And that's where we have our summer house. And it's just a beautiful story about adapting to another culture. And that became like a bestseller from Simon and Schuster, the publishers. And what's interesting is when my mom passed, that's when I read all her books. And the same, like, well, I haven't read them all, but what my father did was the same. He put all the books on the bed. It took him like down in the basement. It took him like a week to find almost each book. There were some missing. And when I saw that, I said to myself, if only my mom saw this, she would be so happy, you know, and freaking out. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to be a good person and to be good to the living now, you know? And she had stage 4 vulva cancer, which is like around the vaginal area. Yeah. And that's why she didn't want to tell anyone. And she only told my father. And the thing is, you shouldn't be embarrassed where the cancer is, because the doctors have seen everything and we all have the same body, you know, especially, you know, prostate cancer. Men are comfortable talking about that. My father has prostate cancer. So you shouldn't be ashamed of that.
Did she ask your father not to tell anybody?
Yes. Not even me. And I was living at home and my mother was like, I just have a little tumor down there. It's going to be taken out. But that year I saw, and I was like, can I help? I see you guys going to the hospital all the time. I knew as a daughter in a way that she was passing. And I filmed my episode on Mother's Day. My mom was so excited for me to go on the show. And she was just like, it was Mother's Day. And she's like, Sonia, are you ready? Let me see your dress. Like, she was so happy, you know? It's very hard to become in survival mode, you know, and be like, I had to protect my dad. And, you know, I was with my father watching her pass. And, you know, things were, I don't wish this upon anybody. And cancer is, the most important thing is for us to all take care of ourselves and mentally and physically. And I really have done a transformation. Like after the show, I did it for myself, but I've lost over 20 pounds. Feel much more energetic, you know, much more comfortable in my skin. but I still love myself, still curvy the way I am. But and mentally as well. Like, people shouldn't be ashamed to go to therapy. It's actually worse and sketchy if someone doesn't go to therapy, you know?
Right.
And I'm just like, of course I'm not okay. My mom died, you know?
Yeah.
My mom's never gonna see me get married, like, none of this. But I have to get through life. And with therapy and my close friends, like, I'm doing the best I can.
We always say in our house, when I went through my divorce, it's like, some days you don't want to, but you just got to keep pedaling the bike. Because if you stop pedaling, the bike falls. So you got to pedal. You just got to pedal. So you're pedaling, and some days it feels good, and some days you just don't want to do it. But, and then, like, to your point, you lose your mom suddenly. You're in very early stages of grief, and then the show airs and this happens. But I think, Sonia, the takeaway here and what I want people to know and see about you is the resilience that you
have. My mom loved that word. That's very interesting that you just said that.
Well, maybe, you know, this is her little wink, and this is your legacy gift to her, is how you're showing up and carrying out what she put in you.
And also, there's another big theme that we really wanted to touch on today, because you've been really, really open about body positivity and self-image and how all those kinds of issues have factored into your life. And that's something that so many women of all ages, whether they're autistic or not, struggle with. So can you tell us a little bit about that part of your life and, like, where you are now and what you've struggled with in the past and how you've gotten through it?
So this is something I've actually never really told people, and I'm very comfortable with Lise. The reason why, and I love you, Nikki, too, but the reason why I'm into makeup so much before and growing up is because I thought the only thing that was beautiful about me was my face. So that's why when I was in seventh grade, eighth grade, you know, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have anything. I read Spanish magazines and tried to copy them. And I would steal my mom's makeup, like, you know, her Trish McAvoy or Chanel, because I thought my face was the only nice thing. So that's why, you know, I got into makeup so much, and I learned it through the magazines. And after the show, everyone was like, she's so fat. She's fat. She's fat.
Mm.
And, I hate that word. I really do. And the thing is, it's important to know what's healthy and what's not healthy in the sense of body positivity. And a lot of people don't understand that when they look at themselves in the mirror, they don't see what others see. Like, you know, the beauty, you know, they see a whole different person. And so I got so much hate about, like, my weight. And I lost weight not because of all the cruel comments. You know, I just did it for myself. And honestly, because when you're grieving, you have to, like, you know, that saying, depression doesn't hit a moving bullet or anything like that or not. But I just realized with all that bullying, I was like, you know what? I don't care if these random people think I'm fat or these guys think I'm fat. Like, it was so strange with all that negativity. I just, like, realized, Sonia, go back to who you are. Like, I always think about who I was when I was 5 years old. You know, I was this girl walking around in circles yelling, I want M&Ms, want M&Ms. Like, I wanted to go back to the girl I was before. And I didn't care when I was a little girl. I was the happiest girl. So then I just realized, you know what? I don't care. And of course, I still care a little bit sometimes. I think all women do. And I think we're all very hard on ourselves. But your weight or the way you look, in any sense, it shouldn't define you. You know, and we all are beautiful in a certain way. You know?
I love the idea of channeling back the 5-year-old little girl who just doesn't care. Yeah. I mean, like, I think of me as a little girl. I was a super tomboy. I don't know if that's even
I can see that.
I was such a tomboy. That's cool. I would try to like ride bikes with my brother's friends, and I would try to jump dirt mounds with them because our neighborhood had a lot of construction. And I think I had so many bruises on my legs. Like, I just wasn't a girly girl. I just wanted to, you know, run around and be crazy. And, you know, I think about that girl sometimes and I'm like, gosh, where did she go? But it is yeah. fun to think about channeling that energy.
Nikki, what about you? What were you like? What was your 5-year-old self? Were you like very girly?
No, because I grew up on a horse farm. And I would say very in my head. I think I lived most of my childhood in my head. I didn't really live it on the outside. Does that make sense? Like, I always had like a little scenario.
More of an introvert.
No, I wasn't really. I was always extroverted. But I think like there was a lot going on in my internal world that I wished was really happening that wasn't. And I lived in a very repressive, I would say, home. So I wasn't allowed to have a lot of, you know, my own thoughts or my own dreams or my own direction. So I lived a lot of my life in my head. Even as a very, very little
girl. Couldn't express.
I think I felt lonely a lot.
I like the way you said that, though. A lot of people, like, I completely can imagine that because you weren't able to express your opinion. Everything was in your head.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it certainly wasn't a bad childhood, but it wasn't a real free one, if that makes sense. Yeah, very structured. Yeah, very structured. Not bad.
And like following all the rules and not having that.
Yep.
Like, expressive childhood, kind of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very little freedom to define yourself. But it is so, and what that does to self-image, but I think it's so true. You know, you were talking about getting to that point where you just don't care. You really do genuinely have to look at yourself and find what you think is beautiful about yourself or what your strengths are, and then get okay with the fact that those are different from other people's, and you're not supposed to look like anyone else, and you're not supposed to have the gifts or the talents. You're bringing something else to the table. And I think that's a thing we all miss. We all think there's some perfect way to be because we get told that by media and music and everything else, but there isn't. The only perfect thing for you to be is you. And that applies, you know, neurotypical, neurodivergent, whatever, but it's a very hard thing to kind of accept and really, really realize.
I really like the way you put that. That made so much sense.
No. Okay.
No, that was like a mic drop. That was like a mic drop. That was really good.
But we're ending the show right here.
Long time. Yeah.
I love talking.
Sonia.
I love talking to you guys.
I'm teasing. We have so much more to talk about. We have so much. You're not going anywhere. All this body positivity, and we've talked bits about the show, so kind of like blending all that together. Like, what is your dating experience from the show on Lots? And, you know, we all saw how it went, but what has it taught you about relationships and sort of navigating your own personal dating journey since the show and all of that?
Well, because my situation in Lots was very different, as you guys know, my actual dating life got worse after the show. I'm not talking to anyone now, but I haven't been with anyone. And a lot of it is because I didn't want to admit to the world that I was I had my ADHD. I always interrupt people. And I was scared, and I still think to this day that people don't want to approach me, or men, because they know I'm ADHD, if that makes any sense. So it's been hard, and who knows what's going to happen or my next chapter, but it's like what I said, you know, when I went on the show, I know I masked a little bit, but overall, like that was me, you know?
Yeah.
And when I watched my episode, actually, because it came out like at 3 a.m. because I'm in Boston, I was actually hugging one of my mom's shirts that I loved and like pretending she was being there. Yeah. And it was hard to watch myself
without her. But
after that, my life changed. You know, I became friends with Tony Hawk. I realized that my father always said I was afraid to live. And he said, Sonia, just say yes to the show.
Yeah.
And when he said that to me, that I'm afraid to live, because I was in the sense he said it like that, but it means, you know, Sonia, go out. Don't care. Like if, you know, go shopping even for an hour, you know, or wear something, you know, that doesn't, don't be afraid of your arms. Like, you know, so, yeah, like, but when he said that one sentence, I was like, you're right. So, and then everything changed, and it actually changed. It's interesting. It changed a lot for the better, because this is me, and I'd rather find someone that likes me for me.
That's the thing. That's the thing, because, you know, now I know you said you kind of almost see it as a negative that you have this diagnosis. You think people aren't approaching you, but I think the next time you're out there and something crosses your path, or, you know, stars align for you, and you meet someone and you start to talk to someone that you're both mutually interested, I think you'll know he knows you. You're being authentic self.
He already
knows.
You
can be you.
That's exactly.
Silly. And it's going to be so much deeper and real.
So do you feel like ultimately it's been kind of a positive that you've had this season of singleness? The experience of being on the show, self-reflection, looking through it. I mean, do you feel, or working yourself through it, do you feel like ultimately that was a good thing to prepare you better for like the next go round at dating whenever it does show up in your life?
I think it was me preparing for the next chapter of my life, because mm-hmm. I think I needed to really find myself. And now I'm ready to put myself out there, even on television. I'm ready to just go do my thing. It gave that alone time and surviving all of that gave me so much strength and actually motivation.
Yes.
Yeah. And that motivation kind of was like, I know who I am. You know, I don't care if a lot of people don't like me. I am Sonia Wiggins. That's my dad's last name. Like, I have a Latin Sonia, and then it's Wiggins. Like, it just becomes so American, you know? But I am Sonia Wiggins, and I
love it.
Am ready, you know? And I love it. And this is me, and I know I'm a good person, and I know I can go to bed at night feeling okay. We all have our flaws, but I'm Sonia Wiggins.
For sure.
And I love myself.
I love
That's
it.
So
and
good.
I, so- like, I think the show has brought me so many beautiful people, you included, and Nikki, and it's just incredible what that's done. Like, the little family that's always going to be formed from Love on the Spectrum. But I think, you know, the takeaway for everyone else listening here is like, you forget Love on the Spectrum, whatever, you've forged through, and you're comfortable in your own skin. And I think that's the part that like, you're exuding such this attractive energy, not attractive like physically, but just like this confidence. Like, people want to be near that peaceful, confident person. I'm drawn to people like that. Like, wow, want to be next to them. They just
way more than like physical perfection.
Yeah.
Oh, the energy someone puts off is so much more important than just having a physically flawless look.
Yeah.
You know, but what you said, Sonia, about like, we're all our own worst critics, and how other women are, at least good-hearted women, are not looking at you with the critical eye that we look at ourselves with. I think that all the time. And like, if there's another takeaway from this conversation, compliment other women. Like, if you like their hair, if you like their makeup, if you like their outfit. I even heard somebody saying one time this week about even complimenting, like, when you don't love the dress, like, it wouldn't be what you'd pick for you, but it's suiting her body, or it's suiting her color.
Yep, that's what I do all the time.
For me too. Like, it doesn't matter, like, whether you would like it or not, it's not on you. You know, and just like that. And you know, one person in my life who's so good at it is my daughter, Midge. She is like positivity queen, and she doesn't really even try, but she just really appreciates beauty. And for her, that's not necessarily physical perfection. It's an energy. It's an individuality, it's charisma, it's whatever.
I can testify to that because Midge has actually texted my daughter.
She does.
She's texted
it's fabulous.
Anna, but she's literally, and I mean, I don't even know where
what
we were.
What did she say in that one text? It's like, you queen.
I know she's so like, so Midge is that. I mean, but I actually think that it takes a real comfortable human being in their own skin to be able to deliver positivity. Well, is it just, to me, the people who are negative, they're scooping from your energy.
Yeah. They're trying to fill their bucket. Or they're insecure. Yeah.
I think as well, jealousy between women is just disgusting. Like when I feel jealous of something, cause we all do, I'm like, what is this emotion? This feels weird.
Yeah.
I don't really get jealous of things, of people. And girls, when they have jealousy, like what you said, it's insecurity. And many of the people that wasted their time making videos of me of 10 minutes thinking they're part of law, it's like, it's very sad. They must be very insecure. And I think I love to make someone's day by saying they look good. Because you're right. I don't like something, but it looks good on them, like, you know.
Yeah.
You make their day. And I love that. I think the most important thing in life is to be good to other people. And
be for sure.
For some reason, I want to say it's Maya Angelou, and I could be wrong. It might be somebody else, but it could. I feel like it comes from her, and I could be wrong. So please, if I misquoted, just forgive me, world. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. And I hope I did that justice. But thank you, Maya Angelou. I really do appreciate that.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maya Angelou.
And I keep that, honestly, in the front of my mind, because I worked in sales for years, and I always remembered wanting the customer to leave the interaction with me positively and not thinking, oh, God, I want was my mind. I genuinely always sold from a place of, like, education and authenticity, because I wanted people to feel like, I hope you buy from me. I want you to buy from me. But if you don't know this when you make your purchasing choice about what I was selling. But I always think about that when I am with people. Hopefully they feel good after they've dealt with me. I really do keep that around.
It's amazing what a difference it makes if you just reaffirm somebody, tell them they look good, tell them you appreciate them, goes miles.
I know this sounds cheesy, but like, I've gone through the worst things in life that I don't wish upon anyone, that are just so traumatizing that I don't want anyone to feel this way. And I want to make everyone feel good. Like, even if I disagree with them about something. And so I like to just be, it's just so much easier to be kind. And, you know, anger is such a strange feeling. You know, and I just want to make someone's day. And it's so easy to make someone's day, you know, like even if someone compliments me, you know, I mean, it makes your day. And what you were saying before, guys, about like attraction, you know, and it's not just physical. My friends always say I have such strange taste in men. But what really attracts me a lot of the time is their brain, or sometimes
their
confidence, but not in a cocky way, you know?
Yeah.
Or if they're magical or different.
For me, what's always been attractive with me, and if a man is, I'm so drawn to like a sense of humor and funny, like someone who can truly make me laugh. And my current husband, he's a pretty funny guy. And like, he is... That is something that, like, he can make a comment, or we can, especially in the beginning, we were always, always laughing. And even now, like, he'll say something and we'll just, you know, and I just, that to me is so attractive in somebody. Like,
yes, it really is. It really is. Humor's huge.
Because you guys are so cool and, like, such divas. Like, if you guys were 35 right now, in my situation.
Yep.
Yeah, I love
like,
this.
Right now, what would you guys do if you were no kids, single, at 35, like, what would be going on? Imagine that right now.
I would be hustling, girl. I would be saying yes to every opportunity, knocking down every door. I'd be traveling. I would not be looking for a man. I'd be working on myself, and he would find me
yes.
when the time was right. And I would be realizing how quickly I'm going to be 55 and that you only get to be 35 one time. So do everything you can. Say yes to everything. Do not be scared. It's amazing what you can actually pull off. And if it doesn't work out, you'll fix it and go on to the next thing.
I'm just a firm believer that there is a plan. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I do believe that for me, and because I can tell you, I thought I had a plan for my life. I can tell you. And I think that you get humbled very quickly by what is meant to be for you. And I would genuinely be, like Nikki said, making the best of all my opportunities and really just living life, but also really trusting in my faith that I'm where I'm supposed to be at that time. And that there's a plan and a path that's so beautiful that I probably, even in all my thinking I can control or what I think I should do, is out there. Because I remember when I was going through a pretty traumatic time in my life and just praying and praying it away. And praying it away. And Nikki's heard this story, so sorry you have to hear it again, Nikki. But no, my father intervened and my father looked at me and he said, "Stop it. God is not a waiter standing waiting to take your order. Pray for the strength to do his will and live your path." And then embrace that. So I know it's easy for us to sit here and say, but I'll be honest, 35, I would love it. I mean, I would go back there tomorrow. And I just think, try to find some peace. And I really think, Sonia, good things
prayer
are coming
gives
for
me
you.
Peace. Prayer but gives think, me peace, you know?
Then stay there. And I think, I don't think I know. I know good things are coming for you. I think patience and peace, which I struggle with. I struggle with the patience piece.
Slow down.
I want things in my time, but I promise you.
Well, and if Tanner's taught me anything, and it was hard for me to learn it, it's there's no one way, no one picture of success. There's no one way that is the right way to impact the world or to be a successful person, because the way his life has gone, in fact, his life was defined by, you know, what the world would say was not success for most of his life. I mean, if the world was going to define the way his life played out, struggled in school, learning disabilities, special schooling, everything was a struggle. Everything was an upward climb. Everything was harder. Everything, lots of therapy, missing out on a lot of the fun things in life because we were in therapy and going to see different doctors.
Me too.
But all that struggle has ended up, if he hadn't gone through that and if he wasn't who he is, he wouldn't have impacted the thousands of people that he's impacted. And I'm really, truly not just talking about social media. I'm truly not just talking about Love on the Spectrum. I'm talking about through his college program, through his community.
Before the show.
Yeah. That was already happening.
Amazing.
The show just
already
made it
was.
Bigger. And he wouldn't have been that impactful. I mean, he probably would have been impactful in other ways, but he wouldn't have been this Tanner if he wasn't exactly who he is, wired the way he is with the diagnosis that he has. And if there's anything he's taught me, it's that. And so don't be afraid for life to look different. It may not be, you know, the typical pipeline of this is the, you know, the order things are supposed to fall in. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Some people don't get married till they're 40, and maybe you'll have your first baby at 43, and that just might be the way it goes. And that's okay. You know, you'll be an older, wiser mom. You know, maybe you have a baby next year. You never know.
You know, it's interesting. My graduation speech, and I at Joseph Kennedy III. He's going to get some, so he was there. I told him he was hot, but I was, I had my graduation speech for 8 minutes. And I actually said, the main topic was everyone has their own definition of success, you know? And if you want to work in retail, if you want to do this, you know, we're all so smart in our own way. And, you know, even I've heard about everything and Tanner before the show, and Tanner wouldn't be that person that people saw before the show, like what you're saying, because of everything he went through, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just such a, he's just such a pure soul, you know?
Yep.
He really is.
And people people really look up to him, you know? You guys both have, I mean, you guys are great moms.
Thank you.
You really, guys, you guys have really amazing You have amazing family, and you guys raised, you guys have great sons. Yeah. And dog, like, beautiful. Yeah. And I hope one day, if I'm ever a mom, to be cool like you guys.
You will be. You'll totally be cool.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
There was something I wanted to talk about, Reels Law.
Yeah.
I bring that up for a second?
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
So Connor and Lise really motivated me to get it to be a part of Reels Law. Mm. And mm-hmm. I want to give, I don't know if you guys know what, I know if you guys do. I don't know if the public knows, and Reels Law and what we're, the organization, it's called Just Be. And it's about making, you know, I mean, there's a story behind it, but pretty much, and I don't know our time, but it's about making places autism friendly, and as well for adults with their kids to be able to go out and have a real life, you know, and not have to be able to have their kids live and to be respected,
to be included,
to be really included. And I'm really, as well, another thing is, even people like me, you know, I got pulled over one time, I guess, for speeding. And I had a ton of squishmallows in the back. You know, the police officer was cute. And I asked if he wanted a lollipop, okay? He probably thought I was on drugs. But so he said I was speeding. And I was like, okay, sir, whatever. And then he goes, if you want to appeal it in court, you can. And I was just like, the way I didn't I don't understand the communication. So I was like, should I go to court and say I wasn't speeding? And I go like, was I really speeding? Like, I was like, do you think I was really speeding? Am I speeding? I was just driving him nuts, you know? And he was just like, I can't hit, like, what, I feel bad for this chick. Like, cause I wanted to, if I was really speeding, I'm going to pay for the ticket, but you know how they legally can't do it. And I didn't understand the communication. And right there, that's a part of my AUDHD. Now, if I had the Just Be sticker on my car, or they could look me up, they would be able to understand and speak to me in a way that made sense. Because I was just I need direct communication, because I drove this poor officer nuts that I didn't even get the ticket. He was just like, I can't, you know, you like the lollipop, I hope, you know, I didn't get a number. Maybe if I got the ticket, he would have given me the number, but I just drove him insane.
I love you so much.
He was like, you know what? Just go.
You're like,
pretty much. Because I was like, I was really contemplating. And you know, they like can't say it. And then you were going this. I'm like,
So what he confused you, because he's like, you're getting a speeding ticket, but if you want to dispute it, you can go to court, which is explaining your right.
And then, they
clock that. And you're like, well, if I was speeding, I'm going to pay the ticket. But now are you saying I'm not speeding? I can see
from
your lens how that
it's
would
not
be
literal.
Confusing. Yeah. That's why that plate is so important. I also just firmly believe, thank God we passed the law here in Georgia. And so are you helping advocate for it in Massachusetts?
And actually in Chile. I was in Chile in June. And my dream is and I was speaking to Layla, my dream is for Reels Law to be international. In Chile, I was working with the neurodivergent community, and I brought up, like, you know, Just Be, and any bit of help can work. There's a lot of, you know, mom and pop restaurants there, and I'm giving them quiet hours so they can have better business. So it'll help them as well. And
you're smart.
So that their families can go there. And
like
there's sensory hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people that are not from there can travel and be safe. And if they have the sticker, and as well, the transportation, I'm trying to get a police officer, because what was going on is, can you imagine being a mom? Like, obviously, sorry, like I'm like a mom with three kids, you're on the bus, and you know, one is neurodivergent, the other one has ADHD, they're running around. People can be very sketchy and chilly, that you're going to get robbed, and then you're just trying to bring your kid to school, you know?
Right.
And I just, that's all they wanted. And it was just, so what I'm trying to do is get this school have safe transportation and not public, because the public transportation is very dangerous. And then these mothers have to go through it every day. So I've been fighting internationally as well, like fighting for it.
Wow.
And in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. And met this very cute little boy. He looks like the boy in Up. And I'm close to the mother. And like, she runs a whole daycare for kids that are on the spectrum. And, you know, I'm really trying to make it a safe place.
I can tell you this, working with Layla and Just Be and getting Rio's Law passed here in Georgia, the advocacy work, it's so rewarding. It's so amazing. Yeah. And I have so many parents just come up and say, thank you, because we were so nervous for our kids to drive, or this is going to, I think too, for us, like the draw, the community in the sensory hours and making all the communities and the events, you know, inclusive, truly inclusive for everybody is important. But for us, it was the public safety piece and the license plate and the first responder training. So that to me, to your point, Sonia, when you got pulled over, the first responder training, had he had the right training, saw the plate, look up in CAD, okay, this individual has this diagnosis.
Some differences.
So I need to understand how to communicate with her in a different way, or not get, you know, suspicious that
overstimulated
on drugs
too, or scared.
Yeah.
Or scared. Like,
dim,
you know,
my lights. Yeah, exactly. So to me, that's the piece that was just so rewarding to work with Layla and Just Be and Senator Strickland and everyone who championed the bill here in Georgia. And it was just incredible that it passed with bipartisan support. It was beautiful. It was a love fest. And I love that you were inspired by that, and you're taking that advocacy out there.
Yes.
And I'm taking it in Massachusetts. And you guys inspired me, because the thing is, it's called a spectrum for a reason. So it's all different levels. And especially like what you're saying with public safety, like, I mean, even adults that are on the other side of the spectrum, like there needs to be a certain kind of training. And I love Layla, I love Rio. And I just think what they're doing is the best. And I'm going to fight for it in Massachusetts as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
I know she
will
appreciate that so much.
Oh, yeah.
But
she knows. But internationally, it is really hard. So that's why I'm going slowly internationally.
So, Sonia, I, number one, just cannot thank you enough for just what a beautiful conversation you've had with us, and just letting, being open and vulnerable to letting the world see you outside of your little 10-minute stint on Love on the Spectrum. So I know Nikki appreciates it too.
Yes, very much.
So one final question before we have to go. If someone watching this today is broken and feeling different, or wondering if they'll ever be enough or fit in, what would you want them to hear from you?
That every single soul in this world, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what religion you are, no matter, you know, Republican, Democrat, that you are a human being and that you are enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you grew up in a home that was very bad, your past does not define you. And you are loved, and that you need to stick with whatever you love and make that something, and that you're worthy of love, you know?
That is so beautiful. And I think the part that you said, I want to really drill it home. I think you said about find your passion and own it. I want you to know that lesson was taught to me so beautifully and humbling in such a way that it was the very behavior I used to try to squish out of Connor, like quoting movies and doing all of these things that I thought were harmful. They really were his passion, and I tried to stop that behavior and interrupt it because it didn't look like what other kids were doing, is the very behavior that is making him successful today. So I love that you said that, for people to find their passion and then stand behind it and chase it.
If you like frogs, love frogs. You know, just like how Connor grew up quoting movies, and you know, Connor's really good at Spanish, Lee. So you got to work on that, okay? Connor can have a full conversation with me. You got to work on that.
I've got to get in on this. But Sonia, thank you so much for those beautiful words.
Thank you.
And I hope someone hears that and listens and locks in. And I hope you all enjoyed getting to know this beautiful Sonia Wiggins.
Sonia Wiggins.
Wiggins.
It was such an honor to be a part of this. And I just want to say that you guys are such awesome mothers. And I hope the whole world sees that, you know, and the way that you protect your kids is the way that my mother protected me. And I think that's why I understand you guys so much, even if I don't have kids. And you guys are really special women.
Yeah, thank you. And that's all. And we feel the same about you. Honestly, we feel the same about you. But Sonia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was so great to get to know you better. Thank you for coming on.
Of course.
Okay, Lise, that was so much fun. I am so glad. I know you knew Sonia before, but I've never personally really gotten to interact with her. So I tell you, every single person that we get to know better from the show, it's always such a treat. And just so cool to see the behind the scenes.
It's so much better than just kind of watching on the show too, because you just get such a glimpse, or you get like an edited or a tweaked glimpse of somebody. Yep. And I think there's just so much more of a 360 view to people. And I have personally enjoyed getting to know her over the past year. I kind of entered her life at a really sad time. She reached out to me and just sort of bonded. So I am so glad, because I really enjoy Sonia. And like she said,
she's adorable.
We FaceTime, we talk. She's a very intelligent, beautiful, fun,
very
woman.
Beautiful, and potentially one of the most fabulous heads of hair I've ever seen on a human being.
And
gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous hair.
I love the way she goes right in. She can go in and out of Spanish. It's great. So we enjoyed the conversation. I hope you guys did. She's incredible, but
she is wonderful. That was fun, and it's so good to see the human side of people.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just expands everybody's heart a little bit and makes everybody a little bit more compassionate and kind when you hear what's going on behind the scenes with people, what they were dealing with at the time the show came out. And, you know, not all the stories are as intense as hers was, but I mean, my gosh, she's a young woman and she was being publicly portrayed online and having a public
and dealing with the loss, the sudden loss of her mother.
Losing her mom. Yeah. I mean, wow, that's
a lot.
That's a lot.
But she's a strong girl. And hopefully you guys got to see a little bit of that today and enjoyed her. And looking ahead.
Yes, looking ahead. I'm so excited about our next episode. I have a feeling it's going to be full of laughter, because momming is hard. And who are we having?
Hashtag I'm mom so hard.
So hard. And that is the truest statement in the history of the universe. We all mom so hard.
I'm just scared that we're not going to be able to keep up with those two. They're kind of
so excited.
They got it going on.
They got it going on. We better have your A-game. Be ready.
We got this. And so I'm excited about that. And then also, just know, you know, we do want to talk to you guys. So we may or may not be talking to or commenting or reading aloud a listener comment. So if you have ever sent us a comment, stay tuned, because it could be you.
It could be you. Tune in. You just never know who we're going to draw out of that hat. So it's exciting.
And we just want to remind you guys, we need you to like.
Yes.
Subscribe.
Share. Favorite. Share to your story. Do a cartwheel. Throw it to your friend. Yes. Call your mother. Do all
comment.
Of it. It helps us, helps us, helps
please,
us.
Please, please, please. We love it. We want to build our community. We just want to touch more people. And
keep having great guests.
We do. And as always, you know what we're going to say. We love you mean it.
Love you mean it. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Pioneer,